This is the Inland Journal. I'm Doug Nadvornik. Spokane County Commissioner Mary Cuney has a primary election challenge this month from County Treasurer Rob Chase. The two Republicans have competed twice before for public office. In the 2014 primary, Chase defeated Cuney in his reelection bid for treasurer. And then last year, Governor Jay Inslee chose Cuney over Chase for a vacant county commission seat. Chase says the county Republican Party had picked him as the preferred candidate, and he blames current Commissioner Al French for throwing his support to Cuney instead. And now they face each other again. Last week, we talked with Mary Cuney about her views on the issues, and now it's Rob Chase's turn. I asked him about his most important accomplishments as treasurer.
We've been under budget every year since I've been there. And I think that's important. And the thing I'm most proud of is it took a few years, but I finally got partial payments at any time passed. And that was a three-year battle. I think everybody liked the idea except the other treasurers, you know, in the Treasurers Association. Well, don't rock the boat, you know. And I didn't think they didn't want to give up that power, I think. Because by state law, you could pay twice a year. You know, you pay April 30th, which, of course, most people did. But then the law was so old, you paid October 31st after your crops had come in, when there's still a rural flavor to most of Washington. But I had a lot of people come to my office and say, gosh, I'm behind. I had a brain tumor, or my wife always handed the books, but she's has Alzheimer's. So can I just start making little payments and get caught up? And I'd have to say, no, I'm sorry. State law says you have to do the entire amount. But if you want to go to Olympia with me and change the law, I'm sympathetic with you guys. And some of them did go to Olympia with me, and they were like my poster children. And it passed unanimously, but it passed only because we made it up to the option of the county treasurer. And so far, I'm still the only county treasurer in the state of Washington. That allows people to pay any amount at any time. And our cashiers love it. They don't have to send checks back that are over or under. They can just go ahead and deposit it. And the taxpayers, of course, themselves like it, because some of them are seasonal. Some of them are on commission, and they don't have it all at the exact same time, but they can make payments that fit their budgets. So, you know, I don't want to sit down and make a deal with them because I don't know what their budget is. They know what their budget is. And besides, the county never loses any money. If they do get behind, then the minimum bid at foreclosure is all the past due taxes, interest, penalties, and title search.
So you said that you think you'd be a good commissioner, but why do you want to be a commissioner?
Well, I think, you know, we all want to, if you recall Maslow's needs hierarchy scale, it's kind of a self-fulfillment thing. I didn't know what kind of treasurer I would be, but my Spokes Review called a couple of weeks after the election and said, sorry, we haven't gotten to you, but what's your goal? I said, I guess I just want to be remembered as a good treasurer. And I think I fulfilled that goal. And the same thing as commissioner. You know, I can't precisely say, well, this is what I'm going to do on land use, this is what I'm going to do on public safety. You have to almost be in there. But I think I've done a good job as treasurer. I'm pretty well read. I think a commissioner should have a general breadth of knowledge, and I do. I've had a lot of different jobs in my lifetime. This is the first time I've worked for government since Army Reserves in the 1970s, so I've been in private industry a lot. But, you know, a lot of times you're there for a number of years, then they don't need your product anymore, and you get laid off, and you start over again. So, you know, I got into real estate and insurance and banking and, of course, manufacturing, too. I worked at Hewlett-Packard for 8 years. I started out working at Bunker Hill and Sunshine Mines, you know, in Kellogg. But it all kind of came together as treasurer in government because you need that breadth of experience.
Rob Chase's political views sometimes run to the libertarian minimal government model. He was a supporter of Ron Paul, former libertarian candidate for president. I asked whether Chase's views of government have changed since he's now an elected official.
I still have those precepts, but I've kind of moderated. If you really need something like electricity or water, I think there has to be a public solution, like a utility to that. If you, for instance, we need schools, you have to have public schools. Now, I'm all open to homeschoolers and private schools competing with that, because I think that makes public schools themselves be better through competition. I believe in, you know, the competition strategy of libertarianism. But libertarianism really, it shouldn't be a political party. It's more of a philosophy, and you get into it, nobody's pure enough. You know, we'll sit down, have meetings, and pretty soon we're arguing about the Civil War.
So are there things you've seen from the inside that you think Spokane County offers in terms of services along this line of libertarianism that it doesn't, that it's not, shouldn't be in the business of?
Well, you know, I think We have to help the helpless. You know, that's something I want to look at before, you know, the community services and how many people really need that kind of help, and talk to the people who are in there. They see a darker side of life than I do. So I'm sympathetic to them, and there should be a safety net, you know.
Rob Chase is a Republican candidate for Spokane County Commissioner. We've posted complete interviews with more than 35 candidates on our website at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Click on the Regional News tab and then the Washington Primary Candidates link. The county commission race in Ponderay County is essentially a referendum on a proposed silicon smelter planned near Newport and the role of the incumbent commissioner in trying to make it a reality. Spokane Public Radio's Steve Jackson reports on that race.
Mike Maness is the Republican incumbent commissioner in Ponderay County, who's been on the commission since 2012. Maness says his major accomplishments include supporting the timber industry in an effort to boost employment and his work on health care issues, sitting on the board of the organization Better Health Together. But it is the issue of the proposed PacWest silicon smelter that has become the major issue of this campaign. Maness has worked with other state lawmakers to help the Canadian company find a location to build a plant in the county. If approved by regulators, he says the project would bring jobs to the economically depressed area.
Well, there'd be 150 direct jobs. There's a 5-to-1 multiplier, so that's another 750 jobs. Some of those would be businesses out of Spokane. The large majority of those would be in the local community.
Maness realizes that the county is divided over the idea and worries about the environmental impact such a smelter would bring to the region known for its lakes, mountains, and natural beauty. But he says if regulators sign off on the plan, it will be a good thing for the community.
Well, I support the smelter as long as it passes through the Department of Ecology. We ask the Department of Ecology to be the lead agency on this because they have the expertise that we don't in our small county. We also have asked the Department of Health to do a health impact assessment. And we ask for a weather monitoring station, meteorological station, to be put on site so we have local data for the permitting process.
Some in the community feel that state and county leaders have not listened to their concerns that siting such an industrial plant in a rural area may be inappropriate. One who shares that view is Commissioner candidate Cheryl Miller, who's running as an independent in the race. She says the public has had no real input on the smelter proposal.
Lack of transparency, the backroom deals, the good old boys club, and that the citizens are just being cut out of the whole picture.
Miller, whose background includes management in the Flying J Corporation, claims there's evidence to indicate Mike Maness and others worked to make sure the potential Newport site was chosen as opposed to other less pristine locations like a former industrial site in the town of Addy.
We have emails with Mr. Maness congratulating the manager of PUD for keeping it under wraps, emails sent to the other commissioners about keeping it on the down low and quiet. They purposely kept it quiet so the citizens did not know about it.
Maness responded by saying when courting a new potential business, you have to be cautious because that business doesn't want all of its plans revealed immediately. He says he and other officials did not direct the smelter company specifically to Newport, but that several potential sites were looked at, including Addy, Ione, Medellin Falls, and Usk. He says the company preferred the Newport site because of power access, roads, and potential labor force. The other candidate challenging the incumbent is Republican Jeff Pittman, who has a background in entertainment ticketing and a degree in finance and accounting. He believes the industrial site is not a good fit for the town and says that there are other uncertainties that could prevent it from being built.
What I'm seeing are little red flags in the whole process. I'm seeing PacWest saying, hey, we're going to get our water from here, but they can't get their water from there. And they're saying, we're going to put our effluent into the new city of Newport system, and yet they aren't able to do that either.
Current Commissioner Maness says he believes those issues will be overcome. Pittman says he doesn't think current county leaders have been asking enough critical questions about the smelter and its environmental impact on the community. Pittman says he would not be completely opposed to the proposed plant if it meets environmental rules and could be situated at a more appropriate industrial site other than in the city of Newport.
I'm not so against the smelter that if, let's say, up in Medellin Falls, those folks said, we desperately want this smelter, and they could get access to legal water. It wouldn't be what I would prefer.
A recent survey by Robinson Research of 400 people in the area found that 39% indicated they opposed it, compared to 38% who indicated they supported the proposed smelter. I'm Steve Jackson reporting.
And now back to Spokane County, where we consider the sheriff's race. Ozzy Knezovich is seeking a fourth term. The man running against him is Scott McClay, a controversial figure who has legally changed his name to DumpOzzy.com. McClay is a former realtor in Spokane Valley. He's now a respiratory therapist and a persistent critic of the sheriff. We met McClay near the site of a fatal accident in Spokane Valley in which a sheriff's deputy hit a man with his vehicle as the man tried to cross the street. McClay believes the sheriff's department has covered up the details of that event. Much has already been written about it and about many of McClay's other allegations against Knezovich and his department. You can read about them on McClay's blog. Because this is a program for candidates, we're focusing this segment on why McClay wants to be sheriff. We spoke in his truck. The noise you hear is that of the air conditioner.
I have the makeup and the personality that is going to restore the Mayberry RFD environment that I enjoyed my whole life growing up here. I'm going to surround myself with a management circle, quality circle, a past and present law enforcement officials, past, hopefully a past sheriff and some undersheriffs, and people who are working in the department today that really want to see us restored to putting accountability, openness, transparency, and putting people first. And in the sheriff's militarization of the department today, we don't have that.
You talked about the fact that you wanted to divert as many people away from the jail as you could. How would you do that?
Well, I'm going to have my office in the jail, and to get into jail, you're going to stop by my office. And that may seem like a large undertaking, but I think it's achievable. I'm going to look to do more diversion programs. I'd like to see a night court. I know that's been talked about in the past, but I think it's time for it. And a weekend court. And I don't think people should be going to jail unless they really belong there. And I'm not saying I'm going to be light on crime. Hardly is the case. But we just cannot afford to continue to house the numbers that we have without getting more creative and looking for other alternatives to help these people to get back into the society more constructively. And in Kootenai County, I've participated in their program there at the Altar Church through Good Samaritan that helps to put citizens back into society to get off drugs and to stop drinking. And I've done that for a number of years, and I think that's something we need here. So we cannot continue to expand the jail and expand the unexplained deaths and the problems that we've got going on there.
Do you think there are going to be people who say you can't be a good sheriff unless you've been a law enforcement officer yourself? What do you believe about that?
Well, if experience is supposed to result in professionalism, as I see on Ozzy's billboards, experience plus accountability equals professionalism. We don't have any of that. It's a total facade. And we're paying for it each and every day. And you're never going to get to the truth in any of these matters that are taking place out here in the community. And we're just going to continue to write checks for the lawsuits. That's not law enforcement. I'm going to run it like I run my family.
That's Spokane County Sheriff's candidate Scott McClay. The sheriff, by the way, was willing to let us interview him, but we were never able to confirm a date. Now to the other end of the judicial equation, to Spokane County District Court and candidate Randy Brandt. Brandt has had several vocations during his career, including construction and real estate. 30 years ago, he became a lawyer. He served as a district court pro tem judge and a court commissioner before being appointed as a judge in 2011. He lost his bid for re-election in 2014, and now he's back, challenging Patrick Johnson and Lyndon Smithson for an open seat.
It's probably an overused phrase, but it was literally my calling. It's a love for the work that I did and do, I guess, and it's just a passion. I love the fast pace of the district court. You know, most of our trials would last 1, 2, maybe 3 days on a rare case, but usually you could hear a case in the morning and a case in the afternoon, as opposed to the judges on the Superior Court, where, as the news shows, that you can have 2, 3, 6 week trials. I just have never had an interest in that. I don't ever, I just prefer the fast pace. So I literally, before I went to law school, I knew in my mind that I was going to become a judge. That was my goal, to go to law school. Practice is necessary for the experience, and I got a lot of good trial experience. And in that time, I did about 25,000 real estate closings, and that flows out of my real estate background. So it just seemed a natural course for me.
Brandt says with the thousands of people who cycle through district court every year, he felt it was his job as a judge to make the experience one that wasn't intimidating for the court's patrons.
I have always tried to demystify that court proceeding, whether explaining terms, rather than saying, you know, sir, you've FTA'd 3 times on an NCO, and so this is a probation violation hearing. What do you have to say? You know, through a counsel, of course. And you know, no contact, NCO is a no contact order. FTA is failure to appear. Probation violation hearing is that there's an allegation that they've done something that violated their probation. They're brought back to court. And then that little snippet that I just gave you, that is where many of the people that were allowed to enter the mental health docket, that's where they were falling down time after time after time. And one of the elements that a judge looks at to determine, is this person, should I favor a release on their own recognizance? If they have, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 failures to appear on time in court, well, it's kind of an indicator that they're just not showing up. But then with the mental health docket, we could look at why they weren't showing up. Was it... we had one fella who was embarrassed that he was hard of hearing. So he knew American Sign Language. So we always, as soon as he came in, we picked that up. So we had an American Sign Language interpreter always available for his hearing. So there's a lot that goes into that.
Randy Brandt is running for a Spokane County District Court seat. His opponents are Lyndon Smithson, a Spokane City prosecutor, and Patrick Johnson, a Spokane County prosecutor. You can find our full interviews with Smithson and Brandt on our website. Johnson didn't respond to our invitation for an interview, but he's touting his experience handling a range of cases. And he says as a military veteran, he hopes to replace Vance Peterson as the judge who presides over the county's Veterans Court. We finish this program by meeting the two candidates for a state House seat in the 7th Legislative District. It's now held by Republican Jacqueline Maycumber. She's a Republican from Republic, and she was appointed to her seat early in the 2017 session. She won an election last November to keep the seat until the next general election, which is 3 months from now.
I've been working on New Era, which is the Northeast Washington Economic Revitalization Alliance. And it's working on legislation through local, state, and city officials together, bipartisan, and coming up with legislation that would help the district become sustainable and have economic viability. And it's working together as a team to really come up with solutions for the district. And it's been great.
When we spoke to Maycumber this week, she had just returned from a one-month fellowship at Harvard. She and other rural legislators from around the country were talking about how to bring more high-speed broadband connectivity to their small towns.
Really, broadband is now the new electricity. We electrified the nation, and we provided electricity for all the families, and now we need to make sure we provide technology so we have equality for education and healthcare throughout the nation.
So where would you say broadband is needed most in your district?
Oh, I mean, the FCC hasn't clearly defined where it is needed. That's our first problem. We need to clearly define where it is needed. But there's a lot of areas that I have a low-income medical clinic that serves the area, and they pay up to $10,000 a month for broadband. A similar clinic within the Seattle area pays approximately $110 a month. So things like that really change the way we're ever able to provide healthcare, we're able to provide people's lab reports and really take care of the community as a whole. I mean, we have broadband problems within a mile off of a main highway. So we really need to look at making sure everybody has the opportunities and making sure our children can be educated through equality. This is an equality issue, not just a technology issue. So really making sure we have equality throughout the nation is important.
So you're from the Republic area, and you were talking about economic development. How will broadband help to develop the Ferry County economy, do you think?
Oh, it's so important. Having the ability to work from home. I hear it all the time that, you know, I want to be able to provide for my family, work from home, and do something. And you really need to have that broadband technology to do that. I mean, other states have done the broadband expansion to the rural areas, and it has paid back hundredfold to their state GDP. So we really need to make sure that we allow people the ability to work from home, to educate from home, and even start providing the opportunities to even apply to jobs. You know, most jobs you have to apply for online. And it's really shocking the ability to not be able to look to the future for our children and have that opportunity.
Jacqueline Maycumber is a Republican state representative in the 7th District. She's drawn a Democratic opponent, Randy Michaelis. He's an interim dean in the School of Education at Whitworth University.
You know, the things I'm going to be most paying attention to is I'm very interested in education K-12 or P-12. I'm really interested in higher education. After having worked, being a teacher of teachers for all these years, I really believe that you have good teachers and good folks. That makes a huge difference. I'm also really care deeply about healthcare and mental health care. The hospitals, you know, so down here, you know, you go to Sacred Heart, you go to Providence, or you go to MultiCare, but up there you go to, it's supported by a rural hospital district, and those folks are struggling. And I'm very interested in helping them be able to stay there. If you lose your hospital, you lose your schools, you lose your Main Street, you've lost your area. And so right now the Republic folks are actually having to run a special levy just to keep them, just to address some of their debt issues. And that seems to me to be wrong. And so we need to be able to help the rural hospitals, rural schools, be able to stay in there. The mental health comes home very personally to me. So in June of 2016, my daughter, Caitlin, was Gonzaga Prep Teacher of the Year. And so, and then within a year, she took her own life. And that was really, I mean, if you want to talk about what tipped me, it was this, is that we found wonderful people within the mental health care system, but we found a system that did not work. And we spent this year where Katie had this very aggressive, sudden onset of schizoaffective that involved delusional thinking, that involved voices and hallucinations, and she finally ended up taking her own life. And we are a smart family, we're a caring family, we are well-resourced, we're well-educated, and we could not navigate the mental health system to take care of Katie. And so I can't imagine what it would feel like if you're living, you know, 200 miles away and have very limited resources. So I'm very interested in seeing what the state can do. Governor Inslee now, has a major initiative going on to distribute those resources, and I would love to be part of that to see what that happens.
Randy Michaelis is a Democrat challenging Jacqueline Maycumber for her 7th District State House seat. The ballots you've received in the mail must be postmarked by August 7th to be counted. Thank you for your feedback on this series of programs that feature local and legislative candidates. Several of you have told us our programs and stories have helped you make decisions about whom to vote for, and that's the goal. We'll keep many of these interviews and stories posted on our website this fall as you prepare for the November general election. Thank you for listening. I'm Doug Nadvornik.